Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
I am Bob Gibson, and thanks again for tuning in to Catholic Sports View. Later on in the show, we're going to talk with Russ Smith. He's the director of elementary school athletics with the Diocese of Orange. A lot of exciting stuff to talk about with elementary school athletics within the focus of the Diocese of Orange, and you want to think about getting your kids involved in this, especially if they're going to some of the great diocesan schools we have within the Diocese of Orange. And we'll talk about a great golf tournament that's coming up as well. But we want to first congratulate once again the back-to-back champions of high school hockey, and it's the Santa Margarita Catholic Eagles once again as we welcome in their head coach, Craig Johnson. Coach, welcome back to the show. Congratulations again on the repeat.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we're getting spoiled here in the Trinity League. We're starting to get used to national champions here with modern-day football, and we've had Bosco football a couple years back, and now you're repeating second year in a row. We were just talking right before the interview here. What a team. What a great team effort this was. I mean, that really, it's so true in all sports, but really in hockey, I mean, you know, that whole team aspect, it can't be stressed enough.
No, you're right. This was a team that nobody really gave a chance to. You know, we had basically 15 new players from last year. And, you know, the team we had was, they were younger, and at the start of the year we struggled at certain times. But, you know, the kids believed in themselves. We as coaches believed in them, and they kept working. And at the end of the year, guys that, you know, hadn't really done much all year stepped up big time. Played big minutes and played big roles for us in the national championship. And other guys that have been there all year, they continue to step up. So it was a total team effort. We had four lines going. Our goaltending was great, and our D was outstanding.
You know, I'm a big believer in that, you know, when you have a younger group that comes through, they really learn from that veteran group that maybe won the year before them. Is that true in this case? Maybe they kind of soaked all that in, and that experience from a year ago made an impression on this group, and they knew what it was like to be able to get there and do this.
Yeah, it helps. It helps when you pass a legacy along, and we did. We had some great leaders last year, great players, and, you know, the guys from this year, they definitely learned from that. But at the same time, they played a little bit differently than we did last year. Last year, we had more skill. I think this year, at the end of the year, we really grinded it out. We competed hard. We committed ourselves to the defensive side of the game as well. And I thought our defense, our gap control, our defensive zone coverage, we got better and better as the year went on, which helped us in the finals.
Does that make it a little tougher sometimes for you as a coach? Oh, yeah, obviously in a professional setting, you hire a coach who maybe has a style, and then you go find players that fit that style. But, you know, in high school, you're kind of dealt the hand you're given at times. You have to work with the players around you. You know, did you kind of have to change on the fly, or maybe kind of change some of the things you do because of the different kind of talent you had this year?
Yeah, we try to do a few things different this year. You definitely have to adjust because last year we had more players that could score goals. And this year we just couldn't give up the chances that we gave up last year as well. So our tracking became a little different, the way we track from behind the puck. We worked on really trying to get above the puck as quick as we could. And then trying to score goals, we tried to widen out or spread out the play and involve our defense quite a bit. So it's something that, you know, the kids have to buy into as well. Sometimes it's not fun to play defense, you know, to work that hard. So I give them a lot of credit for making what we try to do successful.
We're visiting with Craig Johnson, the head coach of the now back-to-back national high school ice hockey champions, the Santa Margarita Catholic Eagles. You talk about defense. I mean, obviously, you know, coaches, all coaches stress, you know, defense, and no matter the sport. I mean, it's good to be able to score. You got to score to win, but it's preventing the other teams. I mean, and so much of what happens on the ice is built around defense, and even to the point where defense creates offense, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, the thing we want to do is when we get the puck, we want to keep it. But when we don't have it, we want to work as hard as we can to get it back as quickly as possible. So that's kind of what we stress this year. And, you know, we really worked on concepts as opposed to the X's and O's of the games, just, you know, good sticks, you know, feet in the right position, you know, body position, different things like that. So it's important. And, you know, all championship teams, you have to have, you know, number one, good goal. Have kids that believe in them, in what we're trying to do to try to track the puck back to.
Obviously, a year ago, it was a little more dramatic in the way the team won the championship, maybe than this year. But I don't want to belabor the point, because I think in Southern California, we're starting to get to the point now where maybe we can talk about being equals with some of the other parts, obviously, in the United States. But still, what does it say about a group of kids from Southern California who, again, go in and prove that, hey, we belong. We can play with some of the other great areas that you know very well. You're from Minnesota, right? You know what it's like to be in the hotbed of hockey. But these kids belong. And they prove that they can be part of that discussion.
When we go to the tournament, people know who we are now. We can't sneak up on people. The team that we played, Edina, it's a great program. I've known it for a long time. So, you know, I was growing up in Minnesota, and it's kind of the one program everybody wants to beat. They have great hockey all the way from the young kids all the way to the older kids. And to beat them is always a special thing. And when we were in Minnesota in February, we didn't play them, but we saw them play, and we looked at how deep they were and how strong, and they're physically, you know, they're big and they're fast and they can shoot pucks. And, you know, we were a little bit nervous about playing them, but when we played them in the preliminary rounds, we realized we could play with them. And, you know, to lose to them 2-1 in the first game we played them, and then to have the chance to come back and play them again in the finals, we knew if we did certain things a little bit different, if we were trying to attack them in a different way. We were trying to attack them with seam passes off the dot, and it seemed to work and give them a little bit of problems too. So, and it's a credit to our kids and believing in themselves and competing as hard as they did.
You mentioned this is a young team. Are most of these kids coming back next year?
Yeah, most of them are coming back. We'll probably lose one or two that might go on to prep hockey out east, but we'll still have a young team next year, and yeah. we'll have a team that, you know, it will be exciting to watch too.
You know, one thing I just kind of dawned on me is that, you know, we talk about the progression of the player in Southern California and how that's becoming more equal, and we're seeing the parity there. How about in the coaching ranks? I mean, I know, you know, obviously you're from Minnesota. We've had other coaches that have come through, you know, this area. That, you know, Guy Bear was coached high school hockey here for a little bit. We've had some other guys, but are we starting to see the level of coaching, you know, go up as well now here in Southern California?
Well, I think anytime you have guys that have played the game and played at higher levels, and they come back and they can give back to the game, it's always going to help the players. So, I agree.
Are we seeing the more interest from people who are native Southern Californians maybe get into the coaching ranks and in playing as well? We talk about maybe bringing in people from other areas, but how about the natives here? It's become really a hockey area.
Yeah, it's you know, hockey's it seems like it's a small community. Everybody kind of knows everybody, and I had two kids that played, so I was able to kind of track a couple age groups, or about four age groups all the way through, and to see those kids going on. You know, we have a couple kids that have committed to colleges, Division I schools. We have one of our players will be drafted next year in the NHL draft. And, you know, to see where these kids have, you know, where they started and, you know, how far they've grown as people and as hockey players, it's kind of neat to see. And, you know, and it goes back to your point about, you know, being around, I guess, players that have played the games at higher levels, you know, to have Scott Niedermeyer around, to have Laddie Cohn, to have Jason Marshall, guys that have played at the highest level, and they come back and they can give these tips to kids and help them, you know, progress to help them get to the levels that they want to get to.
Yeah, can you imagine being an aspiring defenseman and Scott Niedermeyer shows up, right? I mean, you can't really get any better than that, right?
yeah, it is pretty special.
Yeah, well, no doubt. How old were you when you started playing hockey?
I was like five.
Okay.
Five, six.
Right. Right. That's commonplace, obviously, in Minnesota and in the Northeast and that. Do we have that here? Do we have the Pee Wee programs here in Southern California? Are kids starting younger now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they start younger, and it's becoming more year-round, too, which I feel is a little bit of a shame, in that I think kids should be able to play all sports. Most of the kids, back in Minnesota will play other sports. They'll play lacrosse, or they'll play baseball, or they'll play football, and it's not a year-round thing. And, you know, that's the one thing I think out here that we need to do a better job of promoting, you know, an all-around athlete and not just a hockey player.
Do you encourage your kids to participate in other sports?
I would love if they did. You know, we've had kids in the past play lacrosse. We had one a few years ago play football too. And you know, I think it's really good for them, and it gives them more of a high school experience too.
To me, I always thought, you know, no matter what sport you play in the fall or the winter, I think swimming would be one of the best things you could do for your body in the spring when it's warm, because that's a full aerobic deal and you're keeping all those muscles going. I always thought, hey, and each kid that can get in the pool is probably going to do themselves a favor in what other sport they're playing.
Yeah, I can't swim, so I have no idea. But it's a good full body workout, definitely.
Yeah, for
swimming
sure.
is. But as long as you know they're out there doing things, and I think you look at soccer, you look at basketball. You know, they're all attacking games, and you got to use spacing, and you got to move your eyes, and you got to think ahead, and you got to use your teammates, and all those things are going to help you become a better hockey player.
We're visiting with Craig Johnson, head coach of the back-to-back high school national champion ice hockey Santa Margarita Eagles. How much fun is this for you? Obviously, you've settled into this role as head coach here, and it would seem like, you know, this is kind of a natural fit for you.
You know what? I love the game, and I love giving back. And it's when the Ducks started the high school league years ago, I didn't even think it would be possible that my kids alone could play high school hockey. And you know, to have them be able to play at Santa Margarita, to have lunch with their classmates, go to dances, proms, whatever it is, you know, together, it is a special thing.
We're seeing more and more kids get a professional opportunity, right? More and more kids from this area are getting drafted, getting a chance to play professional hockey now.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really neat. There's obviously been players in the past that have been drafted and have already played in the NHL, and Bo Bennett has won a cup with the Penguins, and you look at the kids this year. There's two players that were both Anaheim Junior Duck kids, and one of them played at Santa Margarita, and they're projected to go in the top two rounds of the NHL draft this year. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it is. And then finally, I wanted to ask you about the continued growth of the high school hockey league. You know, somebody asked me, recently about just how much more growth there can be in Southern California. We're seeing more and more high schools, take on, ice hockey as a sport. Do we see another level still, another slew of schools maybe coming into the party?
You know, I don't know. That's not a question for me. I think they've done a great job of growing the sport, and you can see the excitement for the league. And as I said before, it provides these kids the opportunity to represent their schools, to be part of something, bigger than themselves or bigger than just club hockey. So I don't know how much it can grow. Sometimes if you grow too fast, you can really water down the level too. So I think they're trying to find the balance between the two.
Well, Coach, we congratulate you once again. National champions, that really says something. And we're proud of you guys. And we'll continue to follow things. And I know the celebration continues over at the school. And we thank you for coming in again and talking about it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate all the work you guys do.
Thank you. That's Craig Johnson, head coach of the back-to-back national champion Santa Margarita Catholic Ice Hockey Eagles. Much more to come right here on the program. We'll be right back. You're listening to Irrelevant Radio.
This is John Romero, Director of Music at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are just months away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, but in the meantime, we have some spectacular concerts at Christ Cathedral. Check out our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org or our Facebook page at Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Tim Reed here of Trending with Tim Ray. This week, my former co-host Don Johnson joins me as we discuss the Army Sergeant, who essentially ended up being America's first non-binary identifying person, who's changed his mind and says his sex is rooted in his biology. Medically and psychologically, he has been hurt. Listen up for this and more. Make sure to join me for that and more on Trending this Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for sticking around with us here at Catholic Sports View. We appreciate you tuning in this week. Let's welcome in the Diocesan Director of Elementary School Athletics for the Diocese of Orange, and that is Russ Smith. Thanks for taking some time and visiting with us, Russ.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Absolutely. We kind of want to talk about what you do. You're also Director of the Parochial Athletic League. Explain to me a day in the life of the Diocesan Director of Elementary School Athletics, because it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is very enjoyable to oversee the sports programs for all of the elementary schools within the Diocese of Orange. In addition to, I believe we have a dozen Christian schools that are also part of our leagues. We have 44 schools altogether, and I oversee their scheduling, their hiring of officials, their coaches, you name it. So the day-to-day is making sure the games get off on time, and if not, that they get postponed correctly, that they operate well, that the coaches are operating well within the guidelines of what we'd like to see them do as Catholic coaches. Yeah, so it's a different story every day.
So the calendar on your cell phone gets a pretty good workout every single day.
It gets a very good workout. There are games all year long. We start in the fall with girls volleyball and boys flag football, and then both genders play basketball in a winter season. And in the spring, we do boys volleyball, girls fast pitch softball, and this year we've added girls beach volleyball.
Wow.
And then coming up in about a month is our annual track meet, which is huge. It's the only event that we do where grades 1 through 8 compete. All of our other sports are grades 5, 6, 7, and 8.
We know in public education, physical education programs have taken a hit. There's not a lot of money there, but it seems to be thriving here in the parochial sector and in the private school sector. I mean, this is a big commitment in parochial schools to have this physical education and these athletic programs.
It is absolutely huge and a major selling point for our schools. Education-based athletics, so school teams, in other words, are unfortunately, taking a back seat to all these very expensive club programs. Mm-hmm. And we're offering athletics for everybody in that school, whether they're the best athlete in the school or just somebody who wants to be part of a school team. And public school education has missed that now for decades. And here we're bringing everybody into the fold, and they be part of that program as far as their athletic career takes them, or if it just takes them into eighth grade, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think you really bring up a great point, because you're right. There are club teams and you see these travel ball teams, and there's a place for all that stuff. But you're right. It starts at the elementary level, where you just want kids to be able to play, experience the team concept, and there's so much to learn from just being part of a team.
Absolutely. The sportsmanship part. Prior to this year, when I was teaching at St. Simon and Jude School while still running this program, it was always amazing to me when children would go out for the different team sports, I would say half of them really just wanted to be able to wear that team sweatshirt around campus. They wanted to belong to that team. Some of them, you could even say, hey, it's your turn to get in the game. And they would look at you and say, yeah, it doesn't really matter if I get in there or not. I got my sweatshirt.
Kind of like having that Letterman's jacket in high school, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that whole part of our society nowadays, certainly on the public school level, is missing that opportunity, that little bit of pride for being a part of the sport team, being a part of the group at school that everybody wants to be a part of. So we're offering that, and we're offering that in a big way. My role now as full-time director in this position, based out of the diocesan offices, is to expand that in all of our schools, get all of our schools to jump on board to where we're not cutting kids that want to participate. We want to be all-inclusive and let them enjoy this benefit, because it doesn't last long for most of them.
Yeah.
And then, our parents are already paying tuition. Why is our society right now saying, well, now you also have to pay for a club team, in order to participate? Well, in our league, you don't. You play for your school team and enjoy the heck out of it.
So important, so important. And of course, the lament, you know, certainly mine as well as a parent, we hear from other parents is that, you know, we want to get our kids away from the screen time and the devices and just get outside and play like I get, you know, like you and I did when we were kids, right? You know, we're always outside playing and throwing a ball around or doing something. And it's important to get out there and be active. I mean, these are the opportunities, you know, kids really need.
Absolutely. And, you know, through our program, it's just basically an extension of their school day. So, you know, they're getting that activity in, they're burning up that energy. Then when they get home, okay, now it's homework time for dinner, you know, whatever. The ones that choose not to are not running off to another practice, you know, for their club team or whatever. And we do have plenty of those, for sure. Some of our top-level athletes are playing on both the school team and a travel team when they can squeeze it in. But, you know, we want everybody to feel like they can be in there and be part of it.
Russ Smith is our guest. He is the director of elementary school athletics for the Diocese of Orange. We're talking about the athletes and how much fun it is for them. But how about for the coaches as well? Well, who makes a good coach? Who are you looking for to come in and be a coach and to help teach these kids?
In the majority of our schools, I'd say the coaches are parent volunteers who are able to put in that time at right after school, 4 or 5 days a week. And we're looking for that person who embraces the attitude that, yeah, you're a coach, and yeah, winning is fun, but there's a lot more to our program than that. We're faith-based schools. We want to bring that faith into our athletic programs. We've adopted a coaching sportsmanship program produced by the University of Notre Dame. It's called Coaching as a Ministry, and we want our coaches to be ministers of our faith and not be maniacs. And we don't allow them to be maniacs on the sideline. It's just a game, you know, and everybody learns that at some point, and we have some that take a little longer to learn that than others, but it's going to be new coming up this year that every one of our coaches has to be certified through this program, and I think they'll get a better understanding that way of what we're actually looking for them to just coach, teach the kids the fundamentals, teach them about our faith as it relates to sport, and just let the games happen. I challenged some coaches once to see how long they could sit on the bench and not say anything during a basketball game.
Easier said than done.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I don't think anybody passed the 30 second mark.
As we know, sports brings out the competitiveness in just about everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, as it should. And you know, we're trying to teach people how to mellow out a little bit on the competitiveness and just laugh about it sometimes. And, yeah. And actually, one of the exciting things, so beach volleyball, as I said, is new this year, and there's, I believe we have 9 teams participating right now. They go down to Huntington State Beach. The beauty of that and what I'm hearing back from the players is that they're refereeing their own matches, and the parents are not allowed to interfere. The girls are calling their own lines. They're calling their own bad hits, and it's just been wonderful for them to just play sports for sports without people telling them, oh, no, that was out, that was in, that was good, that was bad. You got the score wrong. They're screaming about the scoreboard. No, none of that. They're just down there playing, and it's been enjoyable to watch, and it's been enjoyable for the kids.
Just the purity of it. Yeah, no, it really is.
Which goes back to what you said earlier, where we used to just go play.
Yeah.
And that's rare anymore to send, for obvious reasons, to send your kids down to the park to just play pickup basketball. Hardly ever happens anymore for young kids.
Yeah, sadly enough. Yeah. We cover the Trinity League here, of course, you know, in the high school level, and I know that's not your focus with what you do, but is there a part of it that the focus is maybe to help build these kids up here, and then obviously as they matriculate up, you know, through the parochial system, that they'll hopefully choose to be, continue to be part of Catholic education within the high school level, and then they'll take that, what they've learned at this level, up with them as well?
Absolutely, and that's one of the big focus points of my position now being full-time, and I've recently met with all of the athletic directors from our high schools, and then also the track coaches, because obviously track meets that are as big as ours is now needs help, and they will be representing with their track athletes to help us out this year for the first time. And so our young kids are going to be able to see the high school kids and how they handle themselves, and they're wearing their high school gear, and that they can have a vision of, oh, well, I can do that. I want to go to that high school. And we're also working on programs to get our kids from the elementary schools onto the high school campuses. We've opened discussions on, you know, Catholic school nights at certain football games, at certain basketball games for each of our high schools, so that it's already a big part of their mindset before they even get to 7th and 8th grade. You know, we want them thinking about our Catholic schools. We want the parents thinking about them. And I found it interesting. We've had tournaments for our league over the years at some of our high schools, and some of the parents from, let's say, our grades 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 who don't have any children, you know, close to high school age yet, they won't even know where Modern Day is. Well, where's Servite? Where's Santa Margarita? We want them on those campuses, even younger. So we plan on adding some things, and there's some excitement at the high school level for this new unification, so to speak, which should have always been there. But it's one of those things that, hey, yeah, we forgot about that. Let's get these kids out there. Let's have some fun with it. They all have big games, Friday night, you know, football games and big basketball games. We have some of the best basketball programs in the country. Even basically, I mean, you name the sport. Well, let's get out there and watch them.
Yeah.
Watch them play. Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're exactly right. First time my kid stepped on Modern Day campus was like, I want to go in school here. So you're right. It's, you know, it's impressive to see some of these schools and kind of get in their minds, hey, you know, this is maybe where I want to be when I get to that point.
Sure. And so the parents get an early look at the facilities. You know, you think about going to that next level when our kids are in high school, and now they're thinking, oh my gosh, what college do I want to go to?
Yeah.
Well, they all go visit. They all go check it out. And then mom and dad and the child say, yeah, you know, this would be a right fit for me. The same thing would be true of the high schools. You know, they all offer great things, and some just a little bit different than others. And, you know, the bell goes off and you, oh, yeah, that's where I want to go because of this, because of that. But they have time. They're not all of a sudden reaching eighth grade and saying, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do next?
Right. Explain to us the parochial athletic league. You're the director. Tell us about it and tell our listeners, you know, what it is.
Sure. So most people that have been involved in Catholic education over the past several decades or whatnot probably would refer to our league as the CYO.
Mm-hmm.
And we are that same type league. To be honest, I'm not sure if we started as the Parochial Athletic League, the PAL, or if we were the CYO at some point and then changed over. I'm not 100% sure where that happened. It happened before I came out here in the early 90s. I do know that most of the CYO programs allow people to participate if they're even part of the parish, not just the school. And I'm kind of thinking maybe that's what happened in our league way back when, if somebody decided, no, we want this just to be for our school kids, so we'll rename it something else. And they called it the Parochial Athletic League.
Right.
And because it is just for our enrolled students in our elementary schools throughout the diocese. So as I mentioned earlier, the different sports we do, and at the present time, they're for grades 5, 6, 7, and 8. There's been some talk about maybe dropping that down a little bit lower and having a third and fourth grade league, maybe. But our problem that we would face there is just facilities. Not all the schools have adequate facilities. So part of my new role is actually to kind of create a little bit of a war chest every year so we can get some of our schools into some of these new sports facilities that are out there so they can play on nice indoor courts. There's the MAP Center in Garden Grove and some big volleyball places in Irvine and whatnot. So everybody can have a good experience at it, not have to worry about the weather, not have to worry about anything else, and maybe expand our league. So the PAL is set up very similar to the high school CIF, where our principals actually have oversight of rule changes and not the actual sport rule, but the rules that lead up to it, what each student has to be responsible for, coaches. And so the league itself monitors, is me, first aid training, concussion training, all of the things necessary to get the coaches up to snuff from a legal standpoint, liability standpoint, and now they can run their programs through their school athletic directors. And the involvement level, really that's who runs the train at those schools, is whoever is their athletic director and their excitement level.
Right. We have just a couple of minutes left here, but I do want to get to the golf tournament coming up on May 14th. Your first ever golf tournament.
First ever.
Yeah, this is exciting, right? There's some families being honored as well, but I know this is obviously a fundraiser as well.
It is. Again, that goes back to that little bit of a war chest.
Yeah, right.
About just a moment ago, so we can, you know, because those kind of court times cost money. But, you know, the first time out, we also, a big part of this golf tournament is to help our community of schools get closer. You know, so we have, as I said, 44 schools spread throughout Orange County, and they compete within their own leagues, and hardly ever do they interact with somebody from the other end of the county. So I'm trying to get all of our people together, just have a day of fun, pretty much our year-end banquet. So let's celebrate what we do, and the people that are out there that like what we have done and want to be a part of this even can certainly jump in and play. We're honoring some families this year that have put in just countless hours promoting sport throughout the Diocese of Orange for decades. And we hope to expand that in future years into probably a Hall of Fame of some of our athletes that have moved on and just done phenomenal things in athletics, or some of the parent volunteer coaches that put in. There's a couple in particular, 15, 16 years they coached at their schools as volunteers. They deserve recognition, and this is the perfect place to do it, the golf tournament.
No, absolutely. And give people the information, how they can find the information, where they can go to get signed up if they want to be part of this.
Sure. We do have a website, parochialathleticleague.org, and there's a golf tournament information on there. The event is May 14th at Oak Creek Golf Club in Irvine, or they could simply email me at rsmith@rcbo.org, and I can email out a brochure. We're still accepting golfers. It's going to be a great day. We have plenty of great things that we're giving away that people will enjoy having. We have lunch, dinner, games on the course. It's going to be a beautiful time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting to the point where actually more things are coming in because more people are hearing about it. You know, certainly the first time out, you're trying to get information out. Each of the schools is getting information out. Now people are beginning to really jump on board, which is normal of a lot of golf tournaments. All of a sudden, you have a month to go, and people are saying, oh, well, now I want to play.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, and we welcome everybody, whether you're, you know, even if you just want to play golf and you're not affiliated, or you've had children that went through, maybe they're not even in high school anymore, you love the program for them, and you want to come out and support us, we'd love to have you come on out.
That sounds like it's going to be a fun day. Once again, that's May 14th, Oak Creek Golf Course in Irvine, and parochialathleticleague.org is where you can go to find out all the information. And anything we can do here to help you along the way as well, we'd be more than happy to do. Russ, we thank you for coming on and spending time with us. Thanks again.
Yeah, super. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll get back on and give a recap.
That's Russ Smith, the Director of Elementary School Athletics for the Diocese of Orange. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Bob Gibson, and we'll see you again next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio, exploring where athletics meets faith. Spread the word about our broadcast, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this same time on Relevant Radio.